Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, my name is Mary Beth Rombach Nelson, and I'd like to welcome you to In Touch Interviews today. I will be talking with authors Eric Langshire and Nate Klump, discussing their book, Start Here. Start Here is a groundbreaking science-based program for emotional fitness. We've all heard of physical fitness, but they discuss techniques for developing your emotional fitness using a life cross training system that they've developed. So I would like to welcome Eric Langshire right now on to In Touch Interviews.
Hi, happy to be with you.
Oh, good. I'm happy that you were able to make it. And I read the book and I really enjoyed it. And I just wanted to ask you, what moved you to write the book, Start Here?
Oh, well, thanks for the nice compliment. I've been studying philosophy for many, many years. And I was keen to really find a recipe for a life well lived for myself. And in fact, there was no self-help book that I didn't read. And I realized that there's just so many programs and so many ideas of, you know, do this and do that and try a little of this and do a little of that. And I just had the insight that there's got to be a synthesized, complete program that could represent one-stop shopping for people to really achieve well-being and do it in a very time-efficient, focused way. And that's when Nate and I really connected around this idea that we can really synthesize the world body of ancient philosophical wisdom from the smartest thinkers since the beginning of recorded thought, and validate that wisdom with what we're learning in the last 20 years in science about the brain and about the human species through the study of happiness and positive psychology, and translate all of that into a set of very efficient, very focused, very easy to follow practices.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It was very thorough, but it was very easy to read and understand. And I really like how you did the overviews at the end of each chapter to recap the learning points and the processes of each chapter so that you could, grasp exactly what the points were so you could implement them into your life.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your professional background?
Well, I'm a entrepreneur and investor these days. I spent the first half of my career in the aerospace business, in the airplane business, and then in the last 15 years, I've been in healthcare, technology, and investing. My current firm is a firm called Abundant Venture Partners, and we are headquartered here in Chicago. And what we're up to is finding and building companies that improve the human condition, and we do it through human wellness, human performance, and human engagement.
Oh, wow. So, I know you said that you read many, many, many books and that you wanted to create this book to make an easy and comprehensive guide for basically self-help for emotional fitness. But was there something profound in your life that really triggered you to want to write? Because I know it's a huge project and it takes a long time.
Mm. Yeah. In and around my 40th birthday, I had a really profound experience. I had been reading and studying for a few years by then. But I remember waking up one morning and just going through my usual morning routine, my eyes would open and then my brain would turn on, and then the assault of thoughts would come at me. as they did every day. And it was a it was an exhausting experience. And I remember having the thought, this is really anxiety. This is, you know, anxiety producing. This is a really tiring way to live. And I was determined to find a better way of being, to find a more peaceful way to just go about being alive, because I would be trapped, you know, this voice in my head running through to-do lists and running through all the, you know, long list of things that needed to get done and that weren't, you know, being done, or that I wasn't doing well enough, and the balls that I was dropping, you know, and. And I just realized that it was exhausting, and I had found myself with a renewed, just truly commitment to my own well-being. And, you know, in the process was really inspired of the idea, as my life started to improve and peace started to break out within me, that there was something in here that could help other people.
Well, that's perfect, because we all have those anxiety thoughts of, you know, if you've got children running them to sports events or your work meetings or what you haven't done yet, even when you're doing your present thing, you're thinking about the next thing and the next thing that we have to do in our busy lives. So we can
exactly.
all relate
exactly
relate
right.
to that.
Yeah.
So Nate hasn't called in yet, so I will continue to talk. But just out of curiosity, how did you and Nate meet to collaborate on this project?
Yeah, Nate and I met through really the organization YPO, Young Presidents Organization. And Nate's wife, Kaylee, is a very accomplished facilitator with YPO and YPO members and groups around the country, around the world, really. And Kaylee was facilitating my YPO group, my forum, on one occasion. And she shared with me, we were talking about my interest in philosophy and some of the world's big thinkers and greatest wisdom. And she shared that her husband, Nate, who is a professor of philosophy, was actually on a sabbatical and was taking a year off to live the philosophies of the great thinkers. And
wow.
I thought that was, you know, one of the coolest ideas I'd ever heard. So I immediately looked him up and reached out to him, and you know, so began a fast friendship.
That, talk about synchronicity.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know? The and meeting was, it, you know, just perfect timing. So do you feel like, oh, I'm sorry, continue.
No, please continue. I was just going to say, it turned out to be one of the glorious partnerships in my life. He's such a wonderful person.
Well, it's awesome that, you know, it's funny how one conversation leads to something so synchronistic, and that you could collaborate on this, you know, wonderful book, Start Here, and get to know each other so well, as I'm sure you did
mm-hmm.
through the process. So do you feel like life has become more and more stressful, basically in all walks of people right now? I just feel like it's a really stressful time to be.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is. You know, there's a lot going on, starting with technology, which has made, you know, in so many ways, it's made our lives better. It's made us more productive. It's made us more connected. And I don't think any of us would trade it. But there's certainly a soft underbelly element to it, which is it's making us more distracted. It's making us, you know, live in this always on kind of environment. And Kleiner Perkins conducted a study recently where they counted on average how many times people check their cell phones or their devices a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the number was 150, which is just,
wow.
you know, it's just a huge number.
That's incredible.
And now
we don't even think about it,
amazing.
You know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I have three kids who really never watch television without another device on their lap. So even
I totally agree.
Really,
I have a 16-year-old that sleeps, if I let him, with a phone under his pillow because he can hear that ding so that he can respond.
Bing.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Which, you know, lets out a little chemical release and, you know, we're truly addicted to that little bing. You know, wonder what's going on out there. Wonder what can distract us. I used to be, you know, this is a I'm not sure a great thing to admit. But when I was feeling tired or sleepy, I would go to my device and check email just to get a little bit of a rush so I would wake up.
Okay.
So,
and it worked, didn't it?
And it worked, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little stimuli out there. There's probably something to give myself a little jolt of stress. And, you know, that stress is just amping up. Where I think we're at the point now where the American Psychological Association reports that 75% of Americans report experiencing at least one symptom of stress in the last month. Just, you know, almost epidemic proportions. And then you look at what's going on from that. One in eight people are on antidepressants. It's increasing, and that's from the American, the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA. And it's increased to.
Wow. It's upsetting because if people move more, and, you know, I really think that, well, I know, you know, those feel-good neurons go throughout your body when you exercise and you just feel so much better that, you know, they should do I'm sure they have, but blind studies of people exercising versus taking the antidepressants is you can get such a positive response from exercise and meditation, which you definitely talk about in your book, Start Here. And I personally know I exercise every day and I meditate every day, and there's such good benefits from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your meditation practice.
Oh, my meditation practice, I will light a candle and I say I open my heart, I open my mind, and I open my soul to receive messages. And I ask for messages to guide in my life that day. And it's really a great way of opening up your intuition and just being in a state of allowing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have profound wisdom come from your soul, you know, just in that opening and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at
That's
the very
so great.
End, you know, probably 10, 15 minutes if I don't have a lot of time. Preferably 20 is ideal for me, and I blow my candle out and I thank, you know, God and for any messages, and something always comes through, and I journal. So
wonderful. That's great.
Yeah, I do that in the morning. Do you meditate in the morning or in the evening?
I do every morning. And something that we talk about in the book is making 100% commitment. So many years ago now, I made 100% commitment to meditating every single morning and never missing a day. And it took all the difficulty out of it, because there was no room for debate. Am I going to do it today or not do it today? And so nowadays my meditation practice is just, it's such a treat for me just to be still and to be quiet. And of course, to experience the benefits.
And don't you feel more clarity in your life because of the meditation?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I mean,
yeah.
And the jury is in. I mean, the jury is in. We know scientifically that meditating, and there's all sorts of families and styles of meditation, but regardless, you know, and it only takes up 5 minutes to be an effective dose, but we'll physically change the structure of our brains, which changes our experience of being alive.
Amazing is that? Yeah, it's just amazing.
And we've known for years that exercise will build our muscles. And
right.
So we've embraced that as a society. And I think, you know, and I like to believe that X years from now, we'll be teaching our children meditation in school because we understand that, you know, we understand the known therapeutic benefits that come with it.
That would be great. And even if they don't do it in school, parents can teach their kids. And even if it's, like you said, you know, for a few minutes, it still has profound positive effects on your life overall.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So
who
do you feel is your main audience for, and who will benefit most from reading Start Here?
Well, we began, when we started writing the book now 4 years ago, we began with a view that the audience would be people who, we call them kind of need happy, you know, people who were unhappy, people who were experiencing stress, and or people who were looking for purpose in their lives. And we really lumped that group into, you know, kind of baby boomers, especially. And what we've learned since, you know, since then, and really the experience of how people have really responded to the book and received it, is that, you know, all of that is exactly true. But there's another category of people who want happy, and category of millennials, you know, younger mm-hmm. people who really understand the benefit. And I have such respect for the generation that's placed, I think, a interesting importance on living life in balance and on this sense of harmony, which is, of course, a big part of the book, right? That we're, it's not just all about doing, and it's not just all about being. So we can't just, you know, check out of society and go be, you know, surfers, and we don't have the luxury of going and living in a cave or a monastery. But the other side of it is we don't want to be working all the time and just human doers. So this idea of balance is one that's really truly universal. And it's been great for us to see how all of these demographics have responded to that idea. And I think what we're seeing is there's an appreciation for the not just the ancient wisdom that we present, but the way that we've packaged it in its completeness and the way we've translated it into really efficient practices. And then, of course, the way that we've measured, we've added measurement around it so people can track not just how they're feeling internally, but kind of see empirical benefit on paper.
Right. So, you know, I do believe that the millennials, you know, a lot of them are in sports or in clubs at school, and they're just and entering the workforce, and they're constantly multitasking, that they do realize that they're stressed and they're running from one thing to the next. So, mm-hmm. I do think that they would have a profound benefit of learning how to slow down and how to just be, you know, mm-hmm. and have that balance in their lives. So, you know, it really, I could see a benefit to all different generations because, like you said, you know, with your statistics, who isn't at least have one stressor or stress symptom in their life right now, and it really touches everybody across the board in the different age groups.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So what types of techniques relieve stress, and what should readers expect if they picked up your book?
What's a big question? And
it is.
The,
just,
yeah,
you know, like an overview.
Yeah.
So if someone were listening
yeah.
today, you know, if they were
sure.
to go and.
Well, I think the punchline would be, you know, what would they expect? I think what people would expect is to feel better. This idea that peace is within us. And peace can break out. And I love the way you were describing kind of that centered feeling that you receive from meditation. The book is full of tips that get people to that centered feeling. And I often think about it as introducing just a little bit of spaciousness into our lives so that the external conditions, the things that happen to us and kind of come at us from the outside, don't rock us out of equanimity, out of balance. And there's just that little bit of spaciousness, so it doesn't feel, as Marty Seligman, the positive psychologist, says, you know, it doesn't feel permanent or doesn't feel personal or doesn't feel pervasive, which, you know, left unchecked, we will, you know, we will attach, you know, those three, you know, conditions to a lot of the things in our lives.
Right. And I like it down, you know, you broke it down in like an overview of, I want to almost call it like a life, a wheel of life. In your cross training, you know, you've got your B is your presence, gratitude, your compassion. Your do is engagement, relationships, contribution. And then your training is meditation, movement, and inquiry. And, you know, putting it all together, you've got a really balanced life. And I like how you broke it down into different components. And then at the very end of the book, you put it all together. And then you showed how to implement, you know, in your daily chart at the end, how to implement it into your life. So I felt like it was really all-encompassing for the person. You know, you read a lot of different self-help books, but you're like, well, that was interesting, and then you don't really implement them. And I feel the way that you and Nate broke it down and then put it all together at the end, and then with the chart, the daily chart and the times, and it really helps you as a reader implement it into your life and make the changes, which I think was really important.
Thank you. That was the end game, right? That was our objective, was to make this very practical, make this a very approachable work, make it full of tips, make it accessible so that we can derive the benefit of all of this knowledge. And one of the things that we're, you know, we're really quite proud of was this insight into the idea that these practices can be integrated into the living of our lives. So, you know, we don't have to take an hour, 2 hours a day, you know, off, you know, go offline to engage in these practices. You know, we think about, oh, exercising, we've got to go to the gym, and it takes so much time. Well, the reality is with so many of these practices, we can integrate them into the living of our lives. So when we're standing in line at Starbucks, we can, you know, rather than reaching for our phone and checking text or email or Instagram or Facebook, we can just take the 1 minute that we have and notice, you know, notice our breath, you know, and shift to the present moment. And in so doing, and start to rewire, you know, our very neurobiology. When we sit down to meals, and no one even needs to know that we're doing this, but it's also fun to do out loud even, but just use it as an opportunity to feel and express gratitude. And, you know, that is a really profound practice that, again, you know, had the impact and the power of gratitude is well documented. You know, it's just tremendous, you know, scientifically understood, really benefits of, you know, why gratitude works and how it works.
Affirmations and gratitude, and just having gratitude, you start to think positively, and your body responds in a positive way to your positive thoughts that create almost positive cells in your body that are better for your body to function. So it definitely has a trigger effect on your whole being. So it's
exactly
it's profound, and I like how, you know, all of your different readings that, you know, all the quotes that you have throughout the book too, that you know, that you've taken wisdom from, and, you know, how to create habits And for the average person that reads the book and they start to use the Life Cross training, how long does it take to master the process? And, you know, like when we work out, you start to see results maybe in 2 or 3 weeks. For the emotional fitness, how long does it take to, you know, for the average person to feel less stressed and to become a happier person?
Well, there's degrees here, and I don't think there's one answer. It's often very variable depending on where people are starting, what practices they're beginning with, and kind of what's going on in their world. But in our experience, here's what we see, and here's what we know, is the way the program is constructed, it's really accessible. So there are three stages, and you started to talk about them. Train, be, and do. So the train stage, and each stage has three practices. And the train stage practices of meditation, movement, and inquiry are really foundational. And this is where we urge people to start. And it's just starting with 5 minutes of meditation a day. It's an effective dose, and it gets people moving, really, in the direction of well-being. Similarly with movement. Movement, you know, you don't need Life Cross training and Eric and Nate to share that exercise is good for you. What we know is that, and you said this, you know, a few minutes ago, it's just getting going, standing up, leading a less sedentary life, especially for those, you know, who are involved in office jobs and white collar jobs, you know, sitting a lot, just standing is beneficial. And then inquiry, which is the Socratic practice of questioning our thoughts, which is a master practice of Life Cross training, and again, can be done anywhere, anytime. These are three foundational practices that you know, once you start, you know, really immediately begin to show benefit, because what happens is we just feel better, and that's really the litmus test. We just feel better.
Right. Which is wonderful, because, you know, just from a naturalist, holistic practice of doing this, feeling better, and something that you can do for yourself. And, I mean, if you feel better and you're a happier person, your children are going to be happy, your spouse, you know, your relatives, because they're going to see a difference in you, and, you know, it sets the mood for them also.
I think that's exactly right.
So it's a beautiful thing that, you know, just becoming a happier, healthier, more positive human being rubs off on the people around you, and it creates, you know, like the contribution, doing random acts of kindness, it would create a better world to live in for everyone.
Right. Well, we talk about this in our compassion chapter, compassion, you know, being one of the being practices. And, you know, scientists have measured that when we commit, when we engage in a compassionate act, an act of kindness, our brain releases a certain amount of serotonin. And when we receive a compassionate act, when we're on the receiving end, our brain releases the same amount of serotonin. And as it turns out, when we witness a compassionate act, the same thing happens. So, and this is the thing, right? This is pure goodness, to your point. It's putting it all in motion. And why not choose? And this is the thing. We have the power to choose where we're going to direct our attention, what we're going to think about. Why not choose those things that we know are healthy and are going to lead to a happier state of mind?
Right, making, you know, positive life choices every day. And like I said, you know, with your training and the meditation, once you quiet down, that focus and clarity comes through, you feel better, and you choose to have a healthier and happier life. So it just has such profound effects overall on your your well-being and your physical being. I mean, if someone is listening today that rarely exercises and they start to feel better and they meditate and they exercise and have the movement in their life, it will have better health effects eventually also. So it's just, it's good all the way around. And
that's,
you know,
right.
I'm sorry.
And I was just going to say, and baby steps, right? We don't have to approach this and say, oh, I'm going to spend an hour on the cushion meditating, or I'm going to go and run 5 miles. Literally, small changes can make a big difference.
It's proven, too, scientifically. And mm-hmm. and so anyone can do it. Anyone can start, you know, in a small way and see positive effects. So why do you feel your method works where others have failed?
Well, I'm not sure that I can comment why others have failed. I think what I can say is about the life cross-training system, which we lay out and start here, is number one, I guess there's three main reasons. One is it's anchored in this idea that well-being is a skill that can be trained, which is a huge idea. And it's a modern idea, but there's a you know, truth to it. Science has now proven that our brains are neuroplastic, which is to say our brains are malleable. And as we've been talking about today, we can engage in these practices that will physically change our brains, which will change our experience of being alive. So well-being is a skill that can be trained. The book is anchored in that idea. Number two is the idea then, you know, how do you train your brain, you know, in what direction? What do you want to do? It's about training the skill of attention. Just as we were talking about, it's about choice, right? We can train, you know, choose this over that. I can choose, as William James said, the founding fathers of psychology, my experience is what I agree to attend to. So we can train our brains to attend to those things that are going to make us feel better. And then three, it can all be done by integrating into the living of our lives. So that this is a, you know, this is a program now that's really accessible, that we can do, that's full of tips, that's, I don't want to say the word easy, but is, you know, is very doable. And then what we've done is we've just laid it out and compiled it and included, you know, all of really the best ideas that are scientifically validated and translated into practices in a way that people can follow and track and just start to feel better. And it is like a diet, because once it starts and you start to get that positive feedback and reinforcement, it becomes easier and easier. And, you know, the results just get more and more profound.
So, you know, in blending ancient wisdom with modern scientific methods, don't you feel that the more open to meditation and to well-being, actually the more ancient wisdom fits perfectly into our modern science and scientific methods more than it ever has before?
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible, right? And one of the insights that we had is so much of this ancient wisdom is really timeless wisdom and is very similar across all the traditions. So from the spiritual, the great spiritual teachers, right, from Buddha and Jesus and the Eastern greats and Confucius, all the masters, mm-hmm. they talked about these similar themes. And I'll use the example of compassion. Right, but compassion is a great example. We've talked about gratitude. I mean, these aren't new ideas. What's new is that we now know neurobiologically why they work and how they work, and what a really efficient way to incorporate them into our lives, you know, looks like.
Which is truly amazing. So do you feel like the trend will continue the more open to the ancient wisdom and the more we can literally prove in the lab that these methods change our brain, change our cells, and change our lives, that more and more people will be open to learning more, and the scientific, you know, the doctors will be more accepting, because they'll have to be, because if we're proving in the lab that these things literally change our brains, they'll have the proof, the scientific proof that, yes, you know, these methods do work, and well-being and happiness literally rewire and transform your brain into becoming a more happy, stable person overall.
Without a doubt. And so think how encouraging that is. I mean, it's so amazing, isn't it? What an optimistic message that is.
Oh, you just think, you know, in the next 10 years, if people, you know, grasp this new idea, which is really an old idea mixed with modern scientific methods and knowledge, and implement it into their lives, and just, you know, the random acts of kindness and the meditation and the focus, what a different world we could live in. And it gives everybody hope,
incredible.
I believe. It is.
It's so incredible. Yeah. My father is 94.
Wow.
And he is opening up to these ideas. And it's been remarkable to see someone who's 94 embrace, and he's lived with anxiety and stress. It's always been his best friend. He's always found things to be anxious about and worried about. We've always called it worry. And now he's starting to notice when he has his worries, and starting to shift and begin the process of rewiring. And it's just fantastic that you can, you know, do that at 94.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. And to, yourself and Nate must feel very rewarded that you, you know, publish this book and have it out there, that you can touch, you know, millions of people's lives and increasing, you know, their happiness and their life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people
that
it'll be, you know, just profound how it touches their family and friends. And it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, thank you. It's been really wonderful. It's been deeply gratifying. When we made the New York Times bestseller list, that was a real milestone, and it was a reminder to us. Yeah, that here is a concise recipe for the art of living, and making that accessible and available to people. That's pretty neat. And now, you know, we're starting to share it with corporations who, you know, really are just, you know, groups of people. And we think about, you know, business performance is really a function of human performance, and we have a tool that improves human performance. And we're starting to see the impact of people getting healthy, people becoming more resilient, less stressed, starting to change their behaviors around, you know, email 24/7. We have a story that your fear story, that it might reduce productivity, but the data that we're seeing is really quite remarkable. You know, these skills teach people, you know, leadership. I mean, just, you know, we think about it, the ability to respond to a situation versus react to a situation. It's kind of management 101. The ability to listen to someone, the ability to listen, management 101. The ability to be empathic, management 101. The ability to create organizational trust. So we're seeing just remarkable results, and, you know, at the individual human level, and then rolling up into, you know, business performance with some name brand, you know, companies across the country, including you know, venture capital firms and hard charging law firms like Kirkland and Ellis, and you know, big consultant companies like Deloitte. It's been really remarkable.
That's wonderful. I mean, to see such a shift that you can make in businesses and corporations and how they lead. And like you said, listening. I really believe that every, you know, Generation X to our kids that are millennials and younger need to really learn that, you know, just be and listen skill, because they are so used to multitasking and not having that focus in their life of being scattered and never really being 100% present.
Right.
So talk about productivity.
Yeah. Like, we know that multitasking is actually a fallacy. And, you know, I had prided myself most of my life in being a really great multitasker. Well, we know that the brain doesn't work that way. The brain actually doesn't parallel path two tasks like that. It's literally shifting attention back and forth. And that all of the research shows that when we can get into flow and engagement, and this is one of the practices of our doing practice, when we can get very focused and we can train the skill of focus and attention, we get into that flow channel or an engagement channel where we all know what that feels like when you're in the groove, in the zone, and how we can not only bring our best stuff, but just accomplish so much more. And that's what we're talking about, is building that into our lives.
And I agree. I mean, when you slow down and you have that clarity, and, you know, I feel like meditation and exercise is like rejuvenation for your body and your soul. And you have that clarity and focus to go to work after you've done your morning meditation or your morning workout, then you'll be a more productive person in your life and at work.
Right.
So it just has profound effects in every facet of your life. And I really like that you shared different individual stories of people and, you know, what they were experiencing, the stress and anxiety in their life, and how this program helped them. And, you know, in reading it, you can really relate to some of the individuals in the book and the profound, you know, change that it had over them. So it's definitely a good, concise, integrated book that I bet it took much editing. And you said 4 years. I mean, it would be very hard to get it this concise. I am a writer too, so it's like I know it's very hard to be this concise because there's so much that you want to get in, but you've really done a beautiful job in, bringing it all together and making it something that, you know, the reader can implement and grasp and, you know, live their life with. So are you you're welcome. Are you and Nate going to write another book?
We are. What we've learned in this process is that these same tools can be applied in all aspects of our lives. And so while the book is really an introduction to the framework, the three-stage, nine practice framework with Train Be Do, and really to the science of habit change, we then can apply it, life cross-training at work, life cross-training in marriage, life cross-training, in parenting. And there's so much, I think, value there and learned experience in our travels that we're excited to go deeper on. You know, and I can give you an example as a busy parent of three kids.
Mm-hmm.
These ideas and this practice has really just changed my my complete way of being. I used to walk in the house and go straight for the mail. I wasn't even aware, right? I'd go straight for the mail, and then I would just be busy doing things and just going on, going and going. And, you know, just the whole difference in really the emotional tone of the household. And actually, I credit my wife for this. We've just created a little bit of space and presence where people can feel seen, and it's a wonderful thing, and we can build that into all aspects of our lives.
Well, definitely, and to have that moment where you're present with your children when you come home means so much to them.
Right.
It
right.
does. You know,
it
even
does.
If they're teenagers, they won't admit it, but it does.
Oh, yeah, and they notice everything.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting that you have, you know, future books also. And then tell the listeners, where can they get Start Here? Where is it available?
So available at bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, at all major book retailers.
Wonderful. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners today?
No, I've just really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
I so much enjoy talking to you also, and I look forward to your next books. And you have a wonderful day, and I thank you for being on In Touch Interviews today.
Oh, my great pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye.